Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's first quarter 2015 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks, and welcome everyone to this conference call where we are going to be presenting the results of the first quarter of this year. As always, in page number 3, we are showing the agenda for this presentation. We will start with a glance about the numbers of the company for the first quarter, and then we will go deeper in each of the segments. These are segments of the company to talk about the results in the quarter and also a little bit about the outlook for the coming month of this year. We will end up with a short presentation about the first quarter and subsequent events and a round of Q&A at the end of the presentation. So if we start with the highlights of the quarter in page number 4, we can see that our revenue was $1,233 million. That is about an 8% less than the last quarter of last year. Our adjusted EBITDA was $325 million. That's slightly below the one that we saw last quarter. So it's a 2.6% lower. Our net income was almost 25% lower than the last quarter of 2014, a total of $85.7 million. And our net financial debt was a little bit below $4 billion, with a 4.1% reduction compared with the closing of the year 2014. Regarding leverage, our net financial debt over last 12 months adjusted EBITDA was 3.1, which is a 5.3% compared with the ratio that we had at the end of last year. So if we go to page number 5 and we look at the income statement, we can see that the explanation for the decrease of 7.8% in revenue can be found at the decrease in our pulp and some timber division revenue. And in both cases, the explanation lies in a reduction of volume that we will explain later. In the case of pulp, the reduction volume was about 10%, and in some timber was 15%. The rest of the divisions showed more or less stable revenues comparing quarter over quarter. The reduction in cost of sales of 13.1 has an explanation in a decrease of volume of sales and some decrease in the fuel prices, which end up in a lower cost of production in our operations. Then if we look at the other income, we see a 60% reduction on almost $82 million that can be explained by a extraordinary profit that we got in last quarter of 2014 from the sale of 11,000 hectares of plantations that we did at the end of the year for a total sale of $91 million. The rest of the explanation is due to a $37 million decrease in gain from changes in fair value of biological assets. This last number doesn't affect at the end of the day the EBITDA that we're going to see later on. Other line that is worth looking is distribution costs and administrative expenses. We see a 10% decrease, which can be explained by a decrease in freight expenses, also due to a lower volume sold, and also a lower fuel price. In terms of the same page, in terms of distribution of sales, you can see that 45% of our sales were pulp sales, 35.5% panels, and 16.8% sawn timber. Now moving on to page number 6, we can see the detail on the EBITDA number, and we can see that the difference between 334 of last year compared to 325 can be found in an extraordinary profit that ended up in the EBITDA of $46 million last year. Also, an increase in our panel division EBITDA of almost $20 million that compensated by a drop in the sawn timber division EBITDA of $15 million. The margin improvement that we see of 25.6%, which is a number that we haven't seen from the year 2013, can be explained in lower unitary cost of production because of devaluation of the local currency, lower fuel costs, and some more production that affected the cost of production. If we move to page 7, talking about our financial debt, we can see that our net debt is down $170 million quarter over quarter and almost $500 million less in year over year. This is basically because of the free cash generation that we have been able to do to obtain in the last year. That can be seen in our decrease on leverage, which went from 3.6 times on the first quarter of 2014 to 3.1 times during this quarter. Also, it's worth mentioning that our cash position is higher, $1 billion, compared to $500 million 1 year ago. And after the end of the quarter, we also reduced our gross debt by paying down an amortization of a Yankee bond of $370 million that was due in April. And also, most lately, we prepaid almost $50 million in some long-term bank loans that we could prepay without cost. Our financial debt profile, seen in that slide, is very well distributed in the long term, and most of the short-term debt that appeared in 2015 is already paid down. As I told you, we paid the $370 million of Yankee bond. In 2016, we have, from those $500 million, we have about $300 million of a bilateral loan that is due during 2016. Moving to page 8 and looking at the cash flow, we can see that we have a decrease in CapEx of 29%, going from $134 million to $94 million, which reflects a smaller project pipeline and no significant expansion projects under construction. At the end of 2014, we were doing some other projects that finished, and now we have a more stable pipeline of more maintenance-related projects. In terms of the net cash used in financing activities, we have a decrease of $123 million because we paid a provisory dividend last year of $63 million. And also we had some payments of short-term political financing last year, in this case, $100 million. For the following quarter, in the second quarter, we will see higher numbers in this financing activities, basically because we paid down the definite dividend of 2014, paid in May, which was about $98 million. You can see there that the total cash info for the period was $74 million. And regarding free cash flow, we can say that it was about $100 million in terms of for the quarter. Now, moving on, if we move to page 10, and we'll start talking a little bit more about the different divisions, and we start, as usual, with pulp, we can see that the revenues for the quarter were 571, is always including sales of energy. That compares negatively with the $621 million of the last quarter of last year. That is an 8% reduction, which is find an explanation in the 10% reduction in volume. And this reduction in volume is basically explained by a much higher sales volume in the last quarter, which can be found every year that sales are bigger at the end of the year, and that is explanation of having less sales, which can be comparable to the ones that we had a year before, a little bit higher. In terms of pricing, we can see that we had a lower average price, but the movement and the path of the different fibers were different. And we had long fibers starting from prices really high of $680, more or less, in December, moving down through the quarter, and ending up in March at about $630 per ton. And short fiber moving up from $600 at the end of the last year to $630 in March. At this time, long fiber prices bottomed and stabilized and ended up with a positive outlook. Prices started to go up, and we will talk a little bit more in the next slide about the outlook. In terms of production, production was 5% higher, mainly explained by some annual stoppage that we had in the last quarter in our Valdivia, Constitución, Alto Paraná mills in the fourth quarter of 2014. We had a good quarter in terms of production in the Montes de Plata mill in the quarter. We reached approximately 92% production, but we had a 10-day annual stoppage in March that was programmed in order to repair all the things that were found during the ramp-up, was programmed from before, and that ended up in having more or less the same production level as the fourth quarter of 2014. It's good to say that after the stoppage, the mill started very well, the wood production levels, very good yields in wood, and we were able in April to reach 4% over our target for that month. Remember that our target for 2015 is to production of about 1.2 million tons. Always talking about 100% of the mill. We can say if we compare year over year, you can see that volume is a big effect and is explained by production in Montes de Plata, and the reduction in price has to do with higher average prices of long fiber that we had a year ago, basically. If we move to the outlook, we can see a graph with the index prices of BHKP and BSK, and we can see the trend that we saw from the start of the year, as I told you, long fiber going down and short fiber going up. But this trend in long fiber stopped in March, and in April we were able to raise prices. At the beginning, we raised $10 to $645. I'm talking here China prices, net prices in China, which is our main market. And the short fiber prices also raised $10 to $635. In May, we were able to do another increase in prices from $645 to $655, and a $20 increase for the short fiber. So now both fibers are being sold at $655 per ton in China. So it's a very good trend for our case. We are expecting to raise prices again. We have announced $20 on each fiber more for June. We haven't closed all the volume yet. We are in the process. We are optimistic about it, but we have to wait until the rest of the month to see if we can close all the volume at these new prices. We have to remember also that we are starting the summer season in Northern Hemisphere. It's common a weaker season in terms of demand, but we haven't noticed the impact yet. So we still are optimistic about this increase in prices. Talking about Europe, that market is a little bit more difficult because paper prices remain weak, especially because there's an increase in the price of the fiber, especially in local currency, and the prices of paper haven't increased in a long time there. The spread you can see there of the index is $70, but in practice the spread in the net price is zero in China. Now we have the same prices for both fibers. In terms of inventory levels, we are in 33 days for BSKP and 38 days for BHKP. Now if we move to page 12 and talk a little bit more about panels. we can see that here the revenues are more stable over the quarters. This has to do that we have a more distribution locally of sales in terms of local markets. So an impact and an increase in one market can be met by a decrease in other markets. And we saw only a 1.6% decrease in revenues, which can be explained in a very small volume reduction over one quarter ago. If we compare to 1 year ago, we see balancing effects of a decrease in prices of 5.7%, but an increase in volume that has to do basically to more volume coming from plywood mill in Nueva Aldea that is producing, and a year ago the production was very low. In terms of the sales of our plywood mill, have increased. We have stable prices in all of our export markets, particularly USA, Mexico, and Oceania. In our sales of our particle products from Teno Mill, we have good sales level, and the mill reached its full production capacity. In particle board had strong demand in North America, but on the other hand, the demand for MDF was weak across all markets we sell. But the quarter ended with a better perspective for Brazil, which is a soft market right now compared to last year, but because of the decrease in the growth of the economy and also the impact of the currency. But because of the devaluation of the real, we have been able to export more than we used to do, and now we are in levels of approximately 10% of exports from our production centers in Brazil. In page 13, we talk about the outlook for panels. In North America, we expect good demand for next month and a stable market respecting to prices and volumes. Now, prospects for MDF and particle are both positive for the balance of the year, with MDF a little bit weaker in the southeast to local competition and imports. We, of course, as usual, we are trying to put more emphasis in more value-added products. In Chile, or in the production that we ship from Chile, the outlook is good for MDF and particle board. And as I told you, plywood, we have been able to sell more volume due to higher production from Manuel de Amil. Our strategy is to improve the mix towards high value-added products and with plywood prices stable. In Brazil, sales volume is a little bit higher than what we budgeted, but prices have been affected by general supply situation and the depreciation of the Brazilian real, so we have been increasing exports. When measured in dollars, of course, the prices of in Brazil are lower, and that is reflected in the average prices of our panel products. In Argentina, sales stable, both in MDF and particle board, but with the level of demand in Argentina, we haven't been able to produce at 100% capacity in our mills in Piraí and Zárate. Margins are good, but it's very difficult to export from Argentina with the currency level there, which has been stuck at 8.5 for a long time now, and with the inflation moving at about 30 to 40% a year. Page 14, we talk about some timber, and here you can see quite a big impact in sales volume and of 15% as compared with the last quarter of 2014. Not so big compared, and in reality an increase compared to the first quarter of a year ago. And you can see the production levels are more or less stable, I mean a little bit lower than last quarter, but the impact was basically in sales volume. And this has to do with lower volumes and demand coming from Asia and the Middle East because of higher competition and lower demand on those markets. And it's tougher than it used to be to compete on those markets, but at least the prices have been stable. Well, compared to 1 year ago, volume is better, which was explained by a lower quarter last year, the first quarter, because of some strikes in the ports in Chile that stopped us from exporting some volume in the beginning, first month of the year. In page 15, looking more in the future, now in the outlook, the good news comes from the housing starts that reached 1.14 million units per year, jumping 20%, which is the best number since the end of 2017. And as you can see in the graph, 2007, sorry, you can see in the graph there's some continuous trend in improving the numbers, possibly reaching levels more sustainable for the size of the economy in the U.S. There's some volatility month to month, but the trend is very clear that it's going up. And because of that, an increase in the economic activity in North America, we have been able to sell all of our production output for remanufactured products. The situation in Asia and Middle East continues with low demand and high competition from countries with currency devaluation, but these markets are expected to remain stable during the second quarter, showing a little bit of improvement demand towards the third quarter. Now, if we move to page 17, to the first quarter and subsequent events, the first one that we have to talk is a financing event. Basically, here what we did is to replace two committed credit facilities that were going to be due on October this year. There were three-year facilities, committed facilities, that totaled $320 million. And we replaced it with a facility from the same site. But now we have five-year facilities, and they were signed after the quarter. And one facility is in local UF, which is an inflation-adjusted unit in Chile, for an amount equivalent to $120 million, and was contracted with one big local bank. And the other part, which is $200 million, was contracted with a club deal of three foreign banks and is denominated in U.S. dollars. As usual, our intention is to keep them only for liquidity purposes. We don't intend to draw these lines in for operational needs. This is part of our liquidity policy in order to have a strong liquidity position all over the year. Page 18, we have announced the settlement of the arbitration with Andritz. Just to give you a reminder, there was in 2014 Andritz filed for an arbitration claiming $200 million in reparations for the contracts, €200 million for a contract for the equipment of the onto the Plata mill. The claims related to equipment delivered to the project. CEPP, which is the Celulosa Energía Punta Pereira, disputed the claims brought by Andritz. And also pursued claims in its own against Andritz for breach of obligations. Well, at the end of April, we were able to sign a settlement agreement before moving in arbitration, and we agreed to pay Andritz $44 million to settle all the case on all the arbitration. This payment was done, and it won't have any impact in financial results because it will go to assets to higher investments. Of course, as a result of the implementation of this agreement, all remaining issues between these parties related to arbitration process will be settled and the arbitration proceedings will be terminated. And the last subsequent event that we have in this presentation is that we initiated the construction of Campus Arauco. Campus Arauco is a technical education institute and training center. It will be built in the Arauco commune and will be open in 2016. It will offer technical careers and training programs for company and contract employees, contract workers, and will have a capacity of more than 660 people. Here we are betting on the long term of the Arauco zone in order to have a good people qualification in order to improve education in the zone and also for hiring qualified workers for company. This is going to be at 2,500 square meters building will be built with innovative design using wood from Arauco. The investment for this building is around $6 to $7 million total investment. Okay, that's what I had in the presentation. I would like to now open the floor to any questions that you might have about the results and your listening. So thank you.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, You may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. And the first question will come from Carlos de Alba of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Gianfranco. I have three questions. The first one is related to the scheduled maintenance for the next few quarters, for the Q3 and Q4 of 2015, and how that may impact, you have an estimate, your production volumes. The second question is if you can give us an update on your growth projects, where we stand in each one of them. And then finally, I would be interested in any observations or comments that you can share with us regarding substitution between fibers that you may have seen as a result of the very very big spread that we had in 2015. Clearly, there is always a delay in these substitution trends relative to where the spread is. But have you seen evidence that hardwood demand may have been boosted by the spread that we saw last year, and now perhaps that is going to start reversing? If you have seen any clear evidence of those two movements, it would be very interesting to know. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Carlos, for your three questions. Regarding the annual stoppage, as usual, we spread the annual stoppage through the year in order not to have disruptions in the total volume that we produce. What we have for the rest of the year, we had a stoppage at Planta Constitución in April this year after the quarter. And then we have, that is a 13-day stoppage as normal. Then we have in July, 8-9 days stoppage in Licancel. And Nueva Aldea is supposed to stop in September, August and September. 10 days in September, the end of September and beginning of October. And lately, and the last one that we have, Valdivia, that's supposed to stop at the end of the year, in at the end of the November and the first days of December. So shouldn't have any big impact as we spread the stoppage of the mills. Now, regarding the growth projects, we have announced in other presentations the two big projects that we have in our pipeline. One is the MAPA project, and the other one is the dissolving pulp project, the textile pulp project. And we have no news regarding both projects compared to the things that we talked before. The MAPA project, just to give you a reminder, it was approved the environmental impact study in February 2014, and then during that year, which was contested by a pair of communities saying that they weren't part of the communication and the participation of the community. We of course denied that. We thought that we did a very well process of environmental approval, so we applied to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said that we were in the right we had a good standing environmental approval, but it was contested again through other channels. So we are now waiting for all the legal steps to be complied. So we haven't decided nothing yet because we don't have a completely clear environmental impact study for that project. That project, the reminder, complies a third line of production in the Arauco complex that we will shut down line one after completion of that that mill. It will be a hardwood mill, and also has a 166 megawatt energy facility. What we are doing with the project is going ahead with environmental improvements in the complex. That's more or less $100 and $120 million that we will do anyway. We're starting with that, and and we were different treatment of the coal complex that has the two lines that are right now, and we will receive this new third line. So we were going ahead with that improvement to the effluent system and in the complex, but we haven't made any decision on the board level at this time, and we are waiting for a more clear solution in the environmental impact study. And the other project, the dissolving pulp project, the textile pulp, which is the change of the Valdivia mill to put the production of textile pulp or dissolving pulp. We had an environmental declaration study approved in the beginning of March 2015. And again, it was contested during the 30-day period by some communities and some other people. They were saying that we should do an environmental study, not a declaration. And of course, we have argument to say that it's only a declaration needed because it's only a transformation of an existing mill. We are not changing the parameters of effluents, and nor are we incrementing the production of the mill. But that has also to some process to do right now. So we are still waiting for that. So we don't have any news. This is a potential investment of $185 million, and we need to wait to see what happens with the environmental declaration in order to proceed with its investments. Now, the third question was about substitution. I think that there weren't a big substitution. We didn't see it because it's very hard to identify the substitution. And what I've heard is that most of the substitution have been done in the past, in the periods of high spreads of between fibers, which we have had in the past. This is not the first time that we experience a more than $100 of difference in between fibers. That substitution could have been done in terms of technical changes in machines in order to use more short fiber, which was the fiber that was cheaper in that time. And so I don't think that was enough time or more marginal improvements in the substitution to use more short fiber. And now that the prices are equal in terms of net prices for May at least, I don't think that will go. So I don't think there's a delay in substitution that could impact prices in the future.
So what on that last point, what do you think then could explain how strong hardwood shipments have been this year, and also how strong the prices have responded?
I think that it basically has to do with demand. I mean, demand in the markets, and especially the market that use more short fiber for tissue has been strong, and constantly strong in underdeveloped countries like China, and the growing, even though it has decreased, I mean, from the levels of the growth in GDP, the base of growth, the base of the economy is much bigger. So a growth of 7% is still a big growth in terms of consumption. And every time the income per capita grows, the amount of this type of product that the people consume is higher. So that trend has continued, and that is pushing probably demand for short fiber and also for long fiber. So these movements in pricing have to do more with supply than for demand. So I think that should continue.
Thank you.
The next question will come from Carl Lukatek of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the questions. I have two questions. My first one is a follow-up on Carlos' question regarding the timing of the projects you were mentioning on MAPA and the transformation of Valdivia to dissolving. Should you obtain the final environmental impact assessment for both on MAPA, let's say you obtain that in the next month, what is the best case here in terms of approving it by the board, and then the subsequent startup would be a 2017 project or maybe already 2018? Talking about MAPA and dissolving maybe a bit quicker, the transformation, that's my first question. I just understand the timing on those. And the second question is on the wood panel market, specifically in Brazil. You mentioned that demand has been a bit better than expected. Could you just provide a bit more detail on that? What were you expecting, and what are you seeing, I don't know, maybe year-to-date versus last year over the same period? And also on that end, we saw some competitors of yours here in Brazil increasing price hikes in reais. Have you followed their trends on that end? Just to have an idea of the market. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your questions. Regarding the timing of the projects, as I said, the timing of obtaining the definite approval is not very clear to say. I mean, it depends on our authorities, and I cannot assure any timing for that. But I think the situation is different in terms of if we were able to get the both approvals now, I think MAPA is we need a little bit more time to decide because it's a much bigger investment. It's a 2.3 to 2.5, let's say, $1 billion investment, and that is a bigger decision in terms of putting that money in this project. And also, it's a project that will demand more effort in terms of timing and construction. So even if we have the approval tomorrow, probably we will still do some discussion at the board level for that. In the case of dissolving pulp, it's a more like a no-brainer, and it's a very good project in terms of return. So I think as soon as we get the environmental approval and we are comfortable with that environmental approval, we should start with the project in terms of doing more detailed engineering and doing starting to try to buy the equipment necessary to do that. In terms of dissolving, this is a modification of the mill, so you need to you can start constructing in parallel with the production of the existing mill, but you need to connect the new equipment during an annual stoppage, so that is has some more discretionary in terms of when we'll be producing. So since we don't know when we're going to get the definite approval, I cannot tell you at this point what time we will be producing the new kind of pulp. Now, regarding the wood panel business in Brazil, when I said that the situation was better than we expected or we budgeted, is because we did a very conservative budget for Brazil, and that's part of our budgeting process. But the situation is softer than last year. I mean, the economy is in a worse condition than last year, and it's more difficult to increase prices and to get better margins. So, of course, we try every day to increase our pricing, but we have to be competitive, and we align with the market in order not to lose volume. So we're trying to mix exporting a little bit more, taking some pressure from the local market, and obtaining if we can obtain also better margins in the export market. So probably we have seen some increases in real terms, but in dollar terms they are lower, and that ends up in lower average prices for the whole panel business for Arauco.
That's perfect. Thank you.
The next question will come from Marina Faleros of RISI. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. I also have two questions. The first one is regarding Montes del Plata. I want to understand when you expect the full ramp-up to be completed, because we usually talk in this sector about 6 months, but it's a little more now than that, and you are in 92%, right?
You said you had two questions.
Ah, sorry. I was going to, after your answer, I can ask the next one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we think that we are now in we end up the ramp-up production. I mean, I think that after the stoppage in March, we consider ourselves running now at full capacity. Of course, our budget for the year, it's a little bit lower than total capacity, because we end up the ramp-up not at the January 1st. And that's mm-hmm. why our budget is 1.2 million tons for the whole year. But that process is complete, and we obtained it during the first quarter of this year.
Mm-hmm. So this 92% that it's in the presentation, this was before the downtime period?
Yes, before the downtime period, and it's considering the whole quarter. So on a monthly basis, probably we reach higher percentage demand following just before the stoppage of March.
So now you are in 100% capacity.
Close to 100%. Yes.
Okay. Okay. And the next question is regarding prices. I want to understand if you reached for hardwood the 790 per ton in Europe already this month, as it was expected.
Yes, we reached 785 dollars per ton in Europe.
So this allows you to try the next $20 push in June.
That push is for China, and we are raising prices for China for $20 per ton. Usually the market in Europe is lagging a little bit, the China market, and as I told you, it's more difficult to increase prices over there because currency and the weak, weaker position of the non-integrated buyers of pulp in Europe. So most of the time, the increase in prices happens first in the China and Asian markets, and then they're followed by the European market, basically because it's a global market and they cannot separate too much in pricing.
Yes, because some Brazilian producers, they are trying the 810 range in Europe for June. So you still don't have this target. You didn't announce this price increase for Europe as well.
No, we announced a price increase for China.
Okay. And do you see room for this increase in Europe, or you are going to see what will happen during the month of June?
Well, I hope so. I mean, this has been a good start in the quoting of this price increase, and we still have to see how the total volume happens. But we think that if this continues, it will be possible for doing a similar thing in the markets in Europe. We expect. Mm-hmm. Hope that we can do that.
Okay. Thank you so much. Sorry.
And this will conclude our question and answer session. I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay. As usual, thank you all for attending this conference call. We will meet again at the end of August, probably, or beginning of September for the first half numbers. And as usual, you can reach us through telephone or email if you have any doubts following this conference call. Thank you very much, and we'll see you at the beginning of September.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.